Our Old Testament reading is from Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 14 through 20. Listen for the word of our God. Sing aloud, O daughter Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The forgiving God has taken away the judgments against you and has turned away your enemies. The sovereign of Israel, the God who is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak. The strong one, your God, is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. God will rejoice over you with gladness and renew you in God's love. God will exalt over you with loud singing as on a day of festival. I will remove disaster from you so that you will not bear reproach for it. I will deal with all your oppressors at that time, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time I will bring you home, at the time when I gather you, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth, when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the God who saves. The word of God for the people of God. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word and for safe travels, for your being a family as they travel to sing beautiful and surprisingly relevant music for this morning. Please guide us as we continue to hear your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Zephaniah. It's not a book we go to often. One of those books where, like, if somebody told you to look it up, when I was growing up, somebody told me that to look up Hezekiah 3:14 or something like that. Hezekiah is not a book in the Bible. I thought I was very smart, and I took a long time looking for it. Zephaniah sounds like the kind of book that you would make up on a list of Bible books. We don't go to it super often. I think it was in a women's lectionary for the whole church, which is what we're using, because the main person that it's addressed to in this passage is daughter Zion, or daughter of Zion, daughter of Jerusalem. Chapters 1 and 2 are very doom and gloom. Bad things are going to happen to Israel and the surrounding countries. But this passage, sing aloud, O daughter Zion, celebrate, good things, yay. It was really hard to figure out what I'm going to preach about from that. I wrestled with it a lot this past week. I can't remember the last time I had this much trouble coming together with writing a sermon, because it's all, yay, let's celebrate, everything's going to be fine. I thought of a few people in this congregation who are dealing with the absolute worst realities and try to go, how is this good news? On Saturday, I went to get some background on Zephaniah, and I found the sort of headline in the commentary for Zephaniah. Zephaniah 1, 2 through 13, doom and destruction. I was like, wait, what? Doom and destruction? Did we read the same book? Because I got, sing aloud, O daughter Zion, God is among you. Did we read the same book? I looked it up. Turns out chapter 1 is all, everything's going to die. Everything is going to die. There's punishments, there's vengeance, there's the great day of the Lord. Chapter 2 is, you better repent because you're in big trouble now. Things are going to get bad. I will utterly sweep away everything from the face of the earth, says the Lord. I will sweep away humans and animals, the birds of the sea, the fish of the sea, or the birds of the air, fish of the sea. It's bad. Stop me, though, if you're living in a pandemic and you're just not impressed anymore by threats that things are going to get worse. Like, or when you see headlines, like, I was reading a comic book last week, and I found this amazing headline. It's a Marvel comic, so this is the Daily Bugle. Everything awful. Oh, God, somebody do something. Like, that is every headline, right? Everything awful. Oh, God, somebody do something. I'm not living in this reality by myself, right? Like, it halfway feels like some of the stuff Zephaniah is prophesying, we're already kind of living. Like, look at this, Zephaniah 1:15. That day will be a day of wrath, distress, anguish, ruin, devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, of clouds and thick darkness. I mean, not to be glib about it, but... like, I'm from the generation that made this bumper sticker. Giant meteor 2020 just ended already. They didn't know about the pandemic when they made that. This was, like, political, you can see that. After all that judgment, though, in Zephaniah, Zephaniah has the absolute gall to say, "Sing aloud, O daughter Zion. Shout, O Israel, rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem." Like, my dude, did you not read everything that you just wrote? Did you miss the headline that everything awful, oh God, somebody do something? Were you not paying attention? I don't think I could... I wrote, I don't think I could be writing this sermon right now. I don't think I could have written that sermon last night if I hadn't picked up a book called Looking for Alaska on Thursday night. It's a young adult novel by John Green. I was just absolutely moved by, some of you might have seen, I posted about it on Facebook. I didn't read it. I read it because I thought it would be fun, not because I thought I'd use it in my sermon. Otherwise, I wouldn't have read it on Thursday. Or Friday. Anyway, the novel's about the death of a girl named Alaska and how the people closest to her figured out how to keep on living after she died. And honestly, I'm going to say this as the person who wrote this sermon. It's easily 100 times more powerful than this sermon, but whatever. John Green had years to write it, and I only had this week. But he talks in the afterword about a professor from one of his college religion classes who talked about something called radical hope. Radical hope. It's like, how do we continue to find hope and joy in the middle of everything? And radical hope, it's a thing that on our harder days, which for many of us has been most of our days lately, we just kind of have to white-knuckle cling to radical hope just to get out of bed in the morning. And I know hope has been a theme that I keep coming back to. Maybe it's because we're in a pandemic and there's not a lot going around. But yeah, what's that radical hope in Zephaniah, though? God is in your midst. God's rejoicing over you with gladness. You'll be renewed in God's love, and God will exult over you with loud singing. At that time, God will bring you home and gather you. The great challenge of our age is around narratives. Which story are you going to choose to believe? What's the broad, big story we're going to believe? I don't know if you've watched right-wing and left-wing news cover the exact same story ever, but they're fitting it into very different narratives. The spins are wildly different. Usually, though, it's some version of everything awful. Oh, God, somebody do something. Just who the somebody is and what you want them to do tends to be different. But Zephaniah has a different word, and that word is God is in your midst. That word is you will fear disaster no more. A few years ago, I read a book by Max Lucado where he said this thing I thought that was really profound. Everything will turn out all right in the end. If it's not all right, it's not the end. If it's not all right, it's not the end. Zephaniah is not being Pollyanna or glibly hopeful by ignoring everything that's going wrong. Zephaniah is staring reality in the face and going, that's not the whole story. God is in your midst. God is rejoicing over you with gladness. You'll be renewed in God's love. God will exult over you with loud singing. At that time, I will bring you home and gather you. It's not that what we're facing isn't real. The story of everything awful, oh God, somebody do something, is a real story. But it's not the whole story. It's not the only story. The other story is God is in our midst. God rejoicing over us with gladness. Not to say that God doesn't see our suffering and mourn with us. God joins our suffering on the cross. God cares deeply. But when God sees us, God just celebrates because of how much God loves us. I saw a video on TikTok last night, or the night before, I don't remember. It's this young woman who gets a weighted bathrobe. It's like a weighted robe. I don't know if you've seen weighted blankets, but it's, you know, it's a whole thing. It makes you feel nice and snuggly. She gets this weighted bathrobe, and she just puts it on, and her face is just like, just, I don't think I've seen anyone ever so happy about a robe in my life. She was just the most joyful thing you've ever seen. I had to show it to Kristen. I was like, look at how happy she is. And I thought, that is how God feels when God sees us. God's like, oh my goodness, you're awesome. Just, God celebrates us because of just how incredibly much God loves and cares for us. We'll be renewed in God's love. God will exult over us with loud singing. At that time, God will bring us home and will gather us. Amen. Let's pray. God, in your mercy, help us to hear that everything awful, oh God, somebody do something, is not the only story. It's not the primary story, that your story is always playing over it if we just listen. That you delight in us so much. Help us to know your love, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.